Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to Outlining Fiqh. During the month of Ramadan, the fiqh classes will be paused, and the Shaykh will be doing a daily tafsir class. And this year's tafsir class will be on Surat Yusuf. The Shaykh will be doing a breakdown, scene by scene, of the story of the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam in the English language. So if you want to catch that, just keep listening to this stream. It will be broadcasted day by day. And I hope you'll tune in and then catch us. We'll resume the fiqh class after Ramadan's over. So jazakallah khair.
Stories, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba came to the Prophet. I'm sorry, the people came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Ya Rasulullah, do you have any stories? Do we have some stories that we can hear from you?" And he said, "Yes." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed Surah Yusuf, daf'atan wahidan. One time, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So let's go over Surah Yusuf. Number one, Yusuf is one of the prophets that the Arabs didn't know anything about. Okay, nothing about. Some of Shu'aib and other prophets, they knew, they had some stories of, but they knew nothing, had no connection to the prophet Yusuf. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Hadha inqata. But So for that reason, the Jews got angry and they started crying when the Prophet ﷺ started to tell the story of Yusuf, because he did it in such a beautiful way. They said that he didn't leave any. This is something that they didn't even have, and they are given a better story about it than we do, okay, than the way we give it. And they were enjoying themselves, ragman anfihim, despite themselves, they found themselves enjoying and benefiting from the story of Yusuf. So let's jump into the story, inshallah ta'ala. There are a lot of benefits in it. I hope that we can go through them and expose them, inshallah ta'ala. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala rasulihi al-kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi wa man ittaba'ahu ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, sometimes we get kicked out of the class or the line drops, and it's a moment for us to be grateful to Allah, because now we can reflect upon the fact that we could not be having these classes. Something could happen and where we get, like I said, cut off. So we should be grateful that Allah has allowed us to continue to have these classes. Okay, so let's start again. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alif Lam Ra or Alif Lam Ra. These letters, we call the muqatta'at. These letters are not, are for tanbih, to gain your attention. Okay? But the actual meaning, no one actually knows. What has been said about them is that these are the normal letters you speak with. So why mention them? Some of the Mufassirun said that the alif, a, is to point to all the letters of the throat. The hamza, faha'un, thumma aynun, ha'un, muhmalatani, thumma ghaynun, kha'un, alif. The lam, dealing with all the letters that come on the tongue. And the ra, or the mim, dealing with the letters that deal with the mouth, okay, that come off the mouth. So you're talking about the three different areas that the letters come from when you say these. And it's just one of the statements that the ulama of the past and the present say about these letters. What we do need to recognize, though, is that no one knows the exact meaning behind them, and we're all just making some assumptions. We do know what they do, though. What they do is they gain your attention. Alif Lam Ra. So now people are paying attention. Tilka ayatul kitabil mubin. These are the ayat of the book that is mubin. So al-mubin here is describing the book. The book being the Quran. Mubin is from the word bayana, abyana. Mubin, it's making something clean, clear. And Allah tells us other places in the Quran that He He created man and allamahu al-bayan, right? He taught him how to articulate and make things clear. So the book that is Mubin is making things clear, leaving no doubt about what's going on. Inna anzalnahu Qur'anan Arabiyyan la'allakum ta'qilun. Inna, Allah saying in the royal we, I have sent down, anzalnahu, I sent it down, what? Qur'anan Arabiyyan. Now this can be understood in two ways. Qur'anan, the book, the Qur'an. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma yassir. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. So when we say Quran and Arabiyan, what we're referring to is a recital that is crystal clear. And again, leaves no doubt about what is being said. Because not only do the words have meaning, but they have tone. Okay? They have meaning behind the meaning. Okay? And this all makes it very clear when you recite it, when you're reading it and you're listening to it. So this, Allah has sent down this recitation, this Quran, these stories, this revelation in a clear language that leaves no doubt whatsoever about what was intended. Why did he do that? La'allakum ta'qilun, so that we can gain an intellect, so that we have an Islamic intellect. What does that mean? A way of thinking. The aql is your ability to show restraint, your ability to think in a civilized way, your ability, why restraint? When we say restraint, and why do we say that means civilized? Because otherwise we would just follow our desires. It is our aql that makes us not act like beasts, not eat when we're fasting, not just eat anything because it tastes good, or not just do things in an obsessive fashion because we have an aql, an intellect. So Allah sent down this Quran and Arabiyan, this clear, unmistakably clear recitation and revelation, so that we can gain this Islamic intellect and behave in a way the human is supposed to behave. Then Allah says, "Nahnu naqussu 'alayka ahsan al-qasas." Remember, in the beginning, this particular surah was revealed because the Sahaba were asking for stories. They said, "Do you have any stories to tell us?" And he said, "I'm reciting to you the best, ahsan al-qasas." The best stories, bima awhayna ilayka hadha al-Qur'an, in that we have revealed to you this Qur'an. So the best of stories, the most beautiful stories, the most beneficial stories, the most intriguing stories, the stories with the most drama, best in any way you can think about, are in the Qur'an. And this is the best of them. Okay. وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Even though, not if, in the fact of the matter is, you were, before this story came to you, amongst those people who were unaware, لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Remember I said, the Arabs didn't know this story. This was not something from their history and their culture, the story of Yusuf, because it was a story of the Jews as they entered into Egypt. Okay? Or now I shouldn't say the Jews, Bani Israel, and how they entered into Egypt. So now we get to the story. إِذْ قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِأَبِيهِ يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ أَحَدَ عَشَرَ كَوْكَبًا وَالشَّمْسَ وَالْقَمَرَ رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ. إِذْ is in the past tense. When, it's how we start a story. When, once upon a time, id in the past. So now Allah is taking us back. When Paula Yusuf, when Yusuf said to his father, Ya Abati, and this is a beautiful way to address your father. Ya Abati, oh my father, inni, the fact of the matter is, Ra'aytu, I have seen, 11 كوكبا. I have seen 11 stars, كوكبا, constellations, والشمس, and a bright sun, والقمر, and a bright moon. رأيتهم لي ساجدين. I saw them prostrating to me. This is what he sees in a dream, and he's telling his father what he saw. How does his father respond? Yaqub, he responds by saying, قال يا بني, oh my son, oh my little بني. Ibni is what we know. We say that a lot. Yeah, yeah, bunay. Bunay is, oh my little son. Ya bunay, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik fayakidu laka kayda. Oh my son, oh my small son. And it's a beautiful way of talking to someone that you love. La taqsus, don't narrate, don't tell this story. What you have seen, yaka, what you have seen, your vision, ala ikhwatika, or to your brothers, fa yakidu laka kayda, fa, because if you do, they may plot against you, a plot, they may become jealous of you, they now may plot against you and work against you. Why would they do that? Inna shaytana lil insani aduwwum mubin. You see, Allah says Quran in Arabi, yani Quran in mubin, yani this kitab al mubin, this is a clear book with all everything made clear and laid out. But he is aduwwum mubin, clearly your enemy. There's no way you can't see that shaytan is an open enemy to you and those who follow him. Sometimes we find Muslims giving the kuffar the benefit of the doubt. You should never give them the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because as Allah says, shaytan is aduwwun mubin. No, I'm not calling all kuffar adu. Yani, I'm not calling them all shaytan. No, but some of them actually worship shaytan. And some of them actually help shaytan. And when you can see this clearly, then you need to apply what you know. And so Allah is telling us through his messenger, Yaqub, inna shaytan lil insan, for every one of insan, for every human being, he is an open and a clear enemy. He's always working against us. So this is why they would kida yaka laka kaydan. That's why they would plot against you. Wa kadhalika, and back to your story. And just like that, likewise, wa kadhalika yajtabika rabbuk, your Lord has chosen you. He's choosing you, meaning you're in the act of being trained and mentored by Allah. Okay? Yajtabika. He's choosing you. Your Lord is choosing you. ING rule is ongoing. Wa yu'allimuka min ta'wili al-hadith. And he is teaching you the meanings of events. A hadith is not just dreams. It's anything that happens. The events, the dreams, the stories. When you hear things happening, these are all called ahadith. Ma'adha hadath, what happened? Ta'wil, it means how to take that story and tell you what it really means. What's the meaning behind it? What is really the objective with that? Kumi wa heaven. What's the real objective with that event? That's why it's called ta'wil, from the word awl, the first thing that you should take from that. Wa yutimmu ni'matahu alayk, and he's also completing your ni'mah, the blessings upon you, wa ala ali Yaqub, and on the family of Yaqub. Just like kama atammaha ala abawayka min qabl, just like he did to your forefathers before. Who? Ibrahim wa Ishaq. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. So after he warns his son, he then tells him why I need to warn you, because shaitan is an enemy to man. But let's go back to your dream. This dream, and he's giving him the meaning of the dream in general. This dream is telling you that you are being chosen and you are being taught the meanings of events. And Allah is completing the ni'mah of nubuwwah, of prophethood upon you, just like He did before on the family of Ya'qub, like He did and completed on your forefathers, Ibrahim wa Ishaq. You understand? This is what's going on with you, Kareem ibn Kareem ibn Kareem, right? The noble son of the noble son of the noble son. This is who Yusuf is. Inna rabbaka alimun hakim. Allah is alimun hakim. This is full of knowledge, complete knowledgeable. Hakim, wise in his knowledge. Hakim and alim are not separate names of Allah in this regard. Hakim is a description of alim. He is hakimun in his alim. In his full knowledge, he has full wisdom and perfect, you know, hukum. You know, and where's the hukum? Authority in how he's using and laying down his knowledge and using that knowledge. Also, on top of it, he is hakim. So we need to understand that these are two descriptions and titles of Allah, but one is describing the other. It's almost impossible for me to say it in English without saying he is hakimun alim, the alimun that is hakim. لقد كان في يوسف وإخوته آيات للسائلين. لقد, there already is here. Hear this word, لقد. It's another beautiful way of describing what's going on. There already is. There is لقد كان. There is in the story of Yusuf and his brothers, آيات, so many signs for those who are seeking them, those who were asking, those who came asking for stories. Man, there's so many signs and ayat and baraka and lessons from Yusuf and his brothers. If qalu, when they said, again, we go back into the story. If, now take yourself and put yourself in the scene. Imagine Yusuf's brothers, 10 of his brothers. One of his brothers is not born yet, but his 10 brothers, they're all there. إِذْ قَالُوا, when they said, لَا يُوسُفُ وَأَخُوهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَىٰ أَبِينَ مِنَّا وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَةٌ إِنَّ أَبَانَ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. You see Mubin being mentioned again? 3 times Mubin has been mentioned so far. First, Kitab al-Mubin. Then, Adub al-Mubin. Then, Dalal al-Mubin. Now, is it true in every case? In this third case, it's not. In the first case, Kitab al-Mubin. This book makes everything clear. Adub al-Mubin. Yes, Shaitan is an open and a clear enemy. Dalal al-Mubin? No. He's not. The father's not clearly wrong. He's not astray. But this is the mindset of the children, so we need to let you understand it. He said, they said, Qalu, without doubt, La Yusuf, without doubt, Yusuf and his brother. He's talking about Benjamin is alive. I'm sorry. I said he wasn't alive. So it's the 10 brothers, and Benjamin is still a baby then. And Yusuf, Ahabbu ila abina, are more beloved to our father than us. وَنَحْنُ عُصْبَ, and we are huge, we're a gang, look how tough we are. عُصْبَ has the tone of a gang of strong men. Okay, even when in Arabic, when we say a gang, we say asabit, right? عُصْبَ, look at the عُصْبَ, right? Your fingers, you know? So he says, عُصْبَ, we're a big, strong bunch of guys. We're older than them, we do all the work. We take the animals out. We fix the house. Look at us, how strong we are. He doesn't appreciate us. Inna abana. The fact is, our father, lafi dhalalim mubin, is clear. He's wrong. He's not. He's astray. He should appreciate us, not these little weak children that he has. Now remember, Yusuf and his brother Benjamin come from the same mother, and Yaqub has 4 wives. Okay. His wife Rahil is the mother for Yusuf and his brother Ahuhu, Benjamin. So He has two of his wives are servants that were his servants, and he married them, freed them, and married them. And then he has the wife of, or I'm sorry, the sister of Rahil. Because what happened is Yaqub went and he wanted to get married. And he told him, look, okay, I'm going to get married. He married the sister's daughter after working for 8 years. And then our 7 years. And then after that, they switched the daughter. Said, in our deen, we can't marry you to the younger one without the older one being married first. So they married him to the older one. But they didn't tell him that. They tricked him. And then the nighttime, they put the older sister there. And then the morning, it was clear it was the older sister. So he had to work another 7 years until he could marry the younger sister. So he's married to two. And you see, look at the adab of Yaqub. He doesn't get angry at the woman. He's still married to her. He treats her beautifully, just as his wife, and doesn't blame her. And does the work, he puts in the work and marries the one that he originally wanted to marry. And in his sabr, he frees the slave girls that he has and marries them as well. And so all four of these women give him these 12 sons. So now there's three groups. Check them out. The brothers, after making this statement, they say, "Uqtulu Yusuf." That's one group. They said, we should kill him. Kill Yusuf. Awitruhuhu ardan. Other group says, let's just drive him out the land. Exile him. Yakhlu lakum wajhu abikum wa takunu min ba'dihi qawman salihin. Yakhlu, you'll be khalwa, you'll be free to be alone and get the face of your father, get your father's attention. That's what it means, wajhu abikum. Get your father's attention, our father's attention, because they won't be there no more. And then we can all be good. Min ba'dihi qawman salihin. We'll be salih ever after. We'll never do a bad thing again, just this one time. Then there's the third group. Qala qa'ilun minhum. One person amongst them, qala qa'ilun, someone said from amongst them, minhum, la taqtulu Yusuf, don't kill Yusuf. Wa alquhu fi dayabati aljub yaltaqithu ba'd as-sayyara in kuntum fa'ilin. He says it's third, so there's three. Who want to kill him? Aywa, aywa. Aywa, aywa, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So I don't know where I left you guys. Can someone tell me where I got cut off?
You were saying there's three and then you cut out.
Okay. So there's three groups here now, okay? One group wants to kill him. One group wants to beat him up and drive him out of the land. And the third group says, no, don't kill him. Don't drive, beat him up and drive him out the land. But rather, just throw him in the ghayabatil jub. Just throw him down a well. Some caravan will pick him up and take him away. You know, this is the easiest of the three things to do. And so they choose to do that one. Okay? So this is awsatuha. That's the most easiest of them, the balanced thing to do. But what is a jup? A jup is a dried up well. No water. It's a bir, but it's no longer called a bir because there's no water in it. What does ghayabati mean? A ghayabati means, you get the word ghayb, unseen. What does that mean? An unseen well? No. It means it's such a deep well that when you look into it, you can't see the bottom. The bottom, qa'ruha ghayaba, is ghaib, unseen. So throw him in a deep, abandoned well. That's what he's saying. So it's not like it's an easy thing, because in the bottom of those deep, abandoned wells, there's scorpions, there could be snakes. He could hurt himself on the way down. Nothing to eat. So this is what that's the importance of the description, ghayabatil jub. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارِ. So there's a hope, yeah, he's not going to get hurt. يَلْتَقِطْهُ, they'll pull him out. Somebody who don't know, someone from around here who doesn't know that it's abandoned well, will pull him out of the well. يَلْتَقِطْهُ بَعْضُ السَّيَّارَ. A sayyara We call a sayara a car nowadays. But even a car, they call it a caravan, right? A caravan, is the word actually, sayara, is just from the word sayr, the way you travel and move through. So sayara is causative, the thing that you're going to use for you to travel. So it's anything, a horse, a camel, a cart, a car, a plane, all these are sayara, linguistically in the Arabic language, okay? So they're saying some group of caravans will pull them out, and kuntum fa'inun, if you're going to do something, if you do anything, if we're going to do anything, we'll just throw them down the well. And so this is what they agree upon. And this is where we'll stop our story today. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I hope that this story is very exciting for you. And I hope that we're going to go through it piece by piece. So until we can understand it, and I don't want you to miss any of it, and I don't want to bore you, and I want to keep you on your tip of your seats with what's going to go on. I know you know something of the story, but inshallah, we're going to extract from this story jewels, inshallah, that you haven't seen before. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh.
Anybody has any questions about what I covered so far, I'll take questions on that. If nobody has yes.
I have a question about Yaqub alayhi salam marrying sisters. Was that permissible in his Sharia?
I mean, the question, now listen to your question. You're asking if the Prophet Yaqub married women that were haram to him? Is that your question?
No. It's just, I'm just trying to understand if I understood your talk correctly. Did you say that he married sisters?
Yes, he married two sisters.
And so that means
this means that, but even if we look at Islamic history, it was only until the time of the prophets Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that marrying sisters became illegal.
Oh,
even in Jahiliyyah, right? We see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophet tells them that you cannot marry sisters, and if you are, you have to divorce one of them. When people were coming into Islam, this is again something Islam brought and broke, and we differed from the Bani Israel, who made it halal. It was lawful for them. They didn't make it halal. Allah had it halal for them at that time. It's no longer halal. No, a man cannot marry his sister. I'm sorry, his wife's sister or his wife's maternal or paternal aunt. Okay? But yes, to answer your question, during the time of Yaqub, it was lawful for him to be married to two sisters. Okay?
Okay.
Amin wa iyyak. Is there any other questions about the story?
Can you explain the point on Quran in Arabia again?
Yes.
So
the word Quran in Arabian, every word has two meanings. It has a linguistic meaning, and it has a meaning in the context of a terminology. The word Quran as a terminology, as a term, it means the book that we, in the recitation of the Quran. Okay? It can be referred to as the book or the qira'ah that we do, the recitation that we do of the book, of the ayah. The word Arabi also, it has a linguistic meaning and a meaning as a term. As a term, it refers to the language of the people known as Arabs. So when we say Quran and Arabiya, from a term perspective, we're referring to the book that is in the language of the Arab people. The Quran was sent down as a Quran that is in Arabic language. Do you follow me with that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now the linguistic meaning. The linguistic meaning is that the word Quran means something that is recited, a recital. Something that is read or is being recited. Okay. This is exactly what the Quran is. Right now, somewhere, someone is reciting the Quran. Even though we're studying it right now, someone else somewhere is reciting it. It is a recital, and its job is to be read. So we can articulate it in the mind as saying a recital. Now, what does Arabiyan mean? Linguistically, Arabiyan, the word Araba, means to make a sentiment or emotion crystal clear, to leave no doubt about what is being said in a statement. This is what the word Araba means. Every word has its linguistic meaning and its meaning as a term. So we can take this and on face value, on its linguistic meaning, and say that Allah set down a recital that leaves no doubt whatsoever about what is being articulated. The laws, okay? The stories, the akhlaq, the character, the tawheed, the ahkam, well, I mentioned the laws, the prophets, all of it is very clear. The objective is clear. Why is that important? This is an important point because the other books have lost their clear meanings. Even the actual language in those books is not found. And people have revised them, reinterpreted them based on revisions. And so it is necessary for a book, a scripture, to be, what am I going to say, in living color, so to speak, or present in the world as the authority on what and how man is supposed to act with regards to his obligation to his Lord. And that is the Quran. And it has to be clear. It has to leave no doubt, because Allah is Al-Adl. From amongst his attributes is that he is the most just one. It is unfair to hold you account for something that is vague, that is not clear, and you couldn't understand what to do. From this principle, we learn that, and more, there's more on as Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the halal is clear and the haram is clear. And between that is many different affairs that most people don't know. So there's a principle that you can extract from here. And the principle is this. Whenever a law is not clear, you have choice. Okay? Whatever is not clear is not wajib. Is not haram. Everything that is wajib upon you is crystal clear. Everything that is haram for you is crystal clear. If it's vague, then it's not haram. If it's vague, then it's not wajib, period. Through naming anything in the Sharia, and you can apply that particular rule. You don't have to figure out what is wajib, meaning obligatory.
Look, I'm losing your voice.
Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I don't know where I got cut off there. I hope you caught everything I was saying.
Yes, sir. You cut off when you were talking about whatever is not clear, then we have a choice.
Oh, my goodness. Alhamdulillah. The point I was trying to make to you is this, is that whatever is vague in the Sharia, any ayah from the Quran, any hadith from the Messenger of Allah that is vague, then you cannot make whatever comes from that wajib or haram. Whatever is vague can never be wajib or haram. Only what is clear will be wajib, meaning obligatory, or haram, prohibited from you. Okay, so if you have to think about it and figure it out, then it's not wajib or haram. The thing that is wajib is a no-brainer, meaning the language of it is crystal clear. Whatever is made haram for you is crystal clear. It's a no-brainer. It's right there, and it's not going to be something you have to figure out. And that's a rule you can put across the board, anything you find in the entire Sharia. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, sir. I understand.
Tell me what you understand, please, so I can make sure.
I understand that if there's going to be something that's wajib that I have to do, or something haram that I have to say from, then it's clear cut. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to use my intellect to try to understand it. Anything that isn't clear, then I have choice, and it can't be said that that is clearly haram or clearly wajib for me to do, because there isn't a proof that it is clearly like that.
No. The proof is that everything that Allah has made haram and made wajib upon us, He's made it crystal clear to us. Okay? Like yes, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, is the halal is clear, clearly stated, and the haram is clearly stated. Okay? That's what it is. Because what happens here is that a lot of people begin to make things haram based on their own intellect and their extraction and interpolation of an ayah or the ahadith, whereas the Quran and Sunnah is very, very clear on these things. And that's what I'm trying to point out as far as the ayah is concerning. Quran and Arabian, the Arabic language makes it crystal clear. It doesn't leave room for doubt about a thing. And if there is a way that can be understood in more than one way, both ways are included in this, say, making it halal or haram. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Hey, alhamdulillah, you rabbil alameen.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, wa alaikum salam.
Can you go back over ayat number 4, please? About the dream.
Recite it to me. What?
Remember when Yusuf said to his father, "Oh, my father, verily."
In qala Yusufu li abihi ya abati. إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيتهم لي ساجدين. Is that the ayah you're referring to?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll go over it. If is when in the past tense. It's how we start a story. If qala, so we know it's in the past. There's three types of if. If in the past, إذا in the future, إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح, and إذا يومئذ, then on that particular time. So if قال يوسف, when Yusuf was talking to his father, يَا أَبَتِي, oh my father, إِنِّي رَأَيْتُ, I have seen. So he's talking about a vision he saw in his dream. أَحَدَ عَشَرَ, this is basic Arabic, أَحَدَ عَشَرَ, 1 and 10, 11, كَوْكَبًا, stars, constellations. وَالشَّمْس, and the bright sun. وَالْقَمَر, and the bright moon. رَأَيْتُهُمْ لِي سَاجِدِينَ, I saw them prostrating to me. قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ, oh my son, Yaqub says, لَا تَقْسُقْ رُؤْيَاكَ, don't narrate this story, your dream, what you've seen. عَلَى إِخْوَتِكَ, on your brothers, don't tell them this story. فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا, because they will plot against you some type of plot. Why? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوٌّ مُبِينٌ. Shaitan is an open enemy to man, all of mankind. This is why. Does that answer your question?
Yes, sir. Also, another to add on, is a lot of people say this ayah also says, don't reveal your right hand to your left hand, as they say.
These are things people come up and they extract from a wisdom from this, and it's going to come out later in the story. But
okay,
what it means, what people take it to mean, and it's a good thing to say, it doesn't contradict the story, that you should not share your dreams with people who are not going to be happy for you. Okay. That's the wisdom behind the message of Yaqub. Don't share your dreams and the things that you see or understand. But this is not just a normal dream. The dreams of the prophets are a revelation and they come true. But he doesn't know he's a prophet yet. Okay? But Yaqub understands from this that this son of mine, out of all of them, is going to be a prophet. And that's why he says, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَعْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, Yeah, وَيَتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَعَلَى آلِ يَعْقُوبَ. You know, so he starts to tell him, look, and this is going to a completion of the ni'mah that Allah has gifted to the family of Ya'qub, like he did to your grandfathers and your ancestors before you. So don't tell your stories. Don't tell your understandings. Don't tell your dreams and your aspirations to people who are not going to be happy for you. Why? Because they'll hasaduk. They can give you the evil eye. They can have hasad for you and harm you, as the brothers of Yusuf are well known to have done. But also, there's more to it than that. And I don't want to reveal that at this point. But to let you know that Allah is always in control. Allah, the qadr of Allah is always in control. Okay? And people are never in control. Okay? Sometimes I hear people saying, well, I was in more control when you was never in control. Only Allah is in control. Okay? It just makes us more comfortable in certain circumstances. But Allah and only Allah is in control. Okay? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Does that help you at all?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair.
Ameen. And inshallah ta'ala, we're gonna move our position tomorrow. As this sound, all this sound, inshallah ta'ala, there's no escaping it today. But sabrun jameel. Okay, we'll be patient. And I hope that the barakah outweighs the discomfort of all the noise. Is there any other questions? Aywa, that mind. Jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.